Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
I almost forgot my name. All right.
I hope you wrote your classy answers down then.
I did. And speaking of, that's right, it is our annual classy awards. The classies, as they're lovingly referred to. This is the fifth?
Is it the fifth? It's fourth or fifth.
It's the fifth, because we started in 2012.
Right.
To look back on 2011.
Okay, you're right, you're right.
Yeah.
So it's the fifth.
This is the fifth. Wow, we're a half a decade old.
I know, look at
this
that.
Is around the same time that we actually started the podcast.
Yeah.
Was around winter, 2011.
Yeah, because the first classies were like our third episode ever.
Yeah, it was fun. Way to do that urine stuff in episode three. So, yeah, now we are sitting here wearing our tuxes and our bow ties and our cummerbunds, and we're hoping that you are listening with the same attire, because it's class ring attires, you trashy
Keep it classy.
But there's a dress code for this.
We will get to that. That's obviously the main event of the podcast.
Yes.
But first,
some would say it is the podcast.
It is the podcast. We're going to run through all the boring stuff that happened this week.
Well, there's one very much not boring thing from this week, and that's Wrestle Kingdom 11, which we'll go more into detail, I believe, next week.
Yes.
Once Joel has an opportunity to at least watch the main event.
I will watch it in full, all 5 hours of it.
There's, you know, a couple notable matches that aren't the main event. One of which, for me, was Goto versus Shibata. I forgot for the never championship.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense. But it's Shibata, so like that's the guy who legit headbutts dudes with blood trickling down his face, and he don't care. But the big news grabbing thing that came out of Wrestle Kingdom 11 was the main event between Okada and Kenny Omega. Holy crap, was that match amazing. And it got the mythical 6 stars from Meltzer.
Yeah. Somebody, I think today, asked Meltzer, you know, just people ask him wrestling questions all the time. And somebody asked him, either today, I don't remember when, but somebody asked him, like, what's your favorite era in wrestling? And he was like, 4 to 5 a.m. last night. So,
yeah.
He's been super hyperbolic about this match.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal.
It is. It's a long match too. Most videos that I've seen online of it are about just under an hour. A lot of those I think also include like entrances and everything, but still. It's a long match, but it keeps your attention, and it is, I'll tell you now, at least for me, it is going to be hard to beat that for match of the year already.
Yeah. So here we are.
It kind of makes me mad that I wasn't able to stay awake all the way through it. But then again, at that point, it was like, what, 7 in the morning?
Yeah.
And it started at 3 in the morning here. So, no. I stayed awake. I tried to stay awake as long as I could, and I fell asleep around the third match. And I think that was the gauntlet match, the three-man tag team gauntlet match. They have three-man tag team championships. It's pretty fantastic. Wouldn't recommend that for all promotions. WWE probably couldn't pull it off unless the three-man tag division was just New Day and The Shield and the Wyatts.
They've actually had several three-man factions, very successful three-man factions.
At separate times.
Recently, though.
Sure, like, sure.
Especially if you're willing to include two guys and a girl setups with, basically everything.
Do they also have a pizza place?
Yes, the
90s reference.
The classic, what we're going to call it, the pizza place reference, the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know is two guys and a girl. This week, Raw and SmackDown happened.
Yep.
Not a whole lot really worth digging your heels in and discussing.
Not particularly, no. Not that I can remember right now.
They announced that Undertaker and Shawn Michaels will be on Raw next week.
Yeah.
In addition to having Goldberg on Raw this week, all of this happening the first week after SmackDown beat Raw in the ratings.
Right.
Coincidence? Maybe.
I mean, say no. Well, a lot of that was kind of already in the works before.
It was.
And you also have to, like, you know.
But
how often, what was it? The week that they beat Raw was like Raw was the day after Christmas. And SmackDown was 2 days after Christmas, which people are probably more likely to watch.
But Undertaker, last we saw Undertaker, he came back to SmackDown to tell everybody how awesome SmackDown was and how he expected great things from SmackDown. Right. And I bet that doesn't come up on Raw.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
When Undertaker's showing up on Raw all of a sudden.
Probably not. But they leaned into it more than I thought they would. You know, this past week. Yeah. You know? They addressed it a little bit more. But yeah, we'll see.
I do want to mention that, so after Raw, they had basically SportsCenter.
Yeah. They liken it to Pardon the Interruption, which is, you know, more of an opinion-based thing on ESPN rather than actual just, you know, straight-up news. But it was Peter Rosenberg with Paul Heyman and JBL. I don't know if it's going to be those same three or if this is Peter Rosenberg's show.
Now,
or
have they officially said this is a weekly show?
They have not said anything.
So this could be a
one-off. And honestly, I didn't even hear anything.
This could be a monthly or quarterly thing.
Right. And I heard absolutely nothing about it until the day of.
Right.
And I feel like that was the case with most people, and I feel like that's bad promoting.
It is, especially for what it ended up being. Because it was a very interesting thing to experience.
It was very shoot, you know, type
it was,
show.
It had the same half shoot, half kayfabe feel of Talking Smack,
mm-hmm.
but not with none of the naturalness or smoothness.
Right.
From Talking Smack. It was very rigid, like, this sentence is a
shoot. But then again, neither...
this sentence is kayfabe.
Yeah, but then again, neither of us watched the first episode of Talking Smack.
That is true.
So maybe they also had that awkwardness at first, you know? And that kind of makes me hope that at least two of them will be there every week.
I very
you know?
Much ended up enjoying this as a whole by the
time I did.
It was done.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of it is, this is the first episode, so they had a lot of things to talk about
sure.
and address. They addressed Hogan, and they addressed Conor McGregor, and they addressed, like, a lot of things, all the way back to Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And it was like, they can't do that every week. There's just not enough stuff happens that I really want to hear about every week.
Right.
So, the setup of the show, if you haven't seen the show, the setup of the show is basically Paul Heyman and JBL represented WWE and the corporate stance on issues.
Mm-hmm. Or at least JBL specifically, yeah.
Yeah. And they were, there was a lot of like, the fans feel this. The fans take issue with this.
And JBL was like, the fans can ban if they want, but it's not going to happen.
And so,
or they can put boycott.
Part of it was the fans' stance on things was shot down every time.
Pretty
and of
much.
Course that was going to happen.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, it's very, very weird to have somebody on WWE Network, on WWE television, say, I would rather Raw be 2 hours than 3 hours. That's my stance. I'm sticking to it. Raw would be better at a two-hour format.
Right. And, well, and honestly, I kind of give it to JBL for kind of pulling a debate checkmate there, because he automatically went full-on financial with it. And it was really impressive.
He did.
Threw out a lot of numbers at you. And so basically, it was like, basically made the way he shaped it was like, you clearly hate WWE if you say Raw needs to be 2 hours, like that kind of stance. And Rosenberg was like, I mean, I see what you're doing. You're right. But I would still rather be 2 hours. It's like, I wouldn't want them to lose money, but still.
My other issue with Rosenberg is he didn't make arguments I would make. Because he is my avatar on that show.
Sure.
As a fan, as a complainer of wrestling.
Right.
He is my avatar on that show, and he didn't do it right. And of course,
and he's a man of a lot of opinions.
Yeah.
You know?
And
I was like, I was sitting there like, all right, you could have made a better argument there. But I don't know, maybe he's just more worried about just doing a good job as far as a hosting or
obviously
whatever.
Obviously, first episode.
Sure.
Obviously, it's still WWE show. It's not
right.
shot live.
Right.
So WWE is going to.
Yeah, we don't know what his response really was.
WWE is going to come out winning the argument, as
sure,
they should.
Absolutely.
I understand that. But there were two main points that happened that the counter arguments were not made that I need to make the counter arguments for.
Mm-hmm.
One was JBL's theoretically bulletproof.
No, I didn't say, well, okay, but
no,
yeah.
I'm saying it.
Yeah, right.
like JBL laid it out, and JBL did very well. And if there is somebody there, if there's a face in that company that you want spouting financial information to you, it is JBL.
Sure.
Like, he knows what he's talking about, and he sounds like he knows what he's talking about.
Beat the system on that stuff. Like,
let's go. I wish ratings had been brought into it.
Yes.
Because,
you're right.
Yes, they are making this amount of money on this third hour right now. But
because that's kind of what they're contracted to make.
Yes. But these ratings compared to ratings last year, compared to ratings, you know,
compared to when
5 years ago,
yeah,
compared to when it was a 2 hour show.
Yeah, and you, like, you don't even have to, you don't have to go all the way back to the Attitude Era, because, you know, that's almost an unfair argument. Yeah. But just going back a few years ago when it was 2 hours. Yeah, absolutely.
And saying, yes, this is how it is right now. Is this a long-term sustainable thing? Hmm. Because, and again, I don't have the exact numbers, but we all know that it has been on a downward trend.
Sure.
And there is some line that once it goes underneath that line, it will be losing money.
Right.
And
I was honestly,
it shows no signs of stopping.
Yeah. And just the way that JBL kind of laid it all out there, it made me realize, like, it's going to be a long time before Raw and SmackDown are on the network live. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's like, you think,
oh, I don't think it'll happen anytime soon.
I figured, you know, eventually it'll work that way, like, down the road. But the way he laid it out, I was like, it's going to be a lot longer than I was thinking.
I'm thinking, like, 10, 15 years down
maybe,
the line.
Maybe, yeah.
If not
basically
longer.
The entire cable establishment would have to just completely
crumble. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I assume that's what we've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah, pretty much.
Was how we're going to watch Raw and SmackDown in 2035.
Yeah. Nah, absolutely. But no, they brought up some interesting things.
The other thing that I have to talk to is I have to address something that Paul Heyman said.
Okay.
And I don't like disagreeing with Paul Heyman.
I know.
It's very frustrating.
He's one of your favorite people.
But Paul Heyman, multiple times in there, was dismissed the fans as nothing but complainers.
Right.
Paul Heyman is, especially when Paul Heyman's playing heel, Paul Heyman is a very hostile interviewee.
Right.
That is, obviously that's some just him, and that's also some of the character he's playing.
Sure.
So I don't mind being dismissed as a whiner or a complainer.
Right.
That's what he should do. That is what I do. That's the whole point of the podcast.
Right.
In some ways. But he frequently said, he said it on at least two different issues. He said it on the Goldberg thing, and he said it on the three-hour issue, was they can complain all they want, but nobody's boycotting. And as long as they're not boycotting the show, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And that's not true.
Yeah.
Because I will never, barring some, like, really amoral decision that is being made, I won't be boycotting wrestling.
Right. Especially since we have the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
I won't be boycotting WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But what will happen, what is happening, is I'm becoming very apathetic to it.
Right.
Which in many ways is worse.
Right.
Because if I am actively boycotting a show and I'm going out and saying, don't watch this thing, that's what happened in the Attitude Era.
Right.
Tons of people boycotted the Attitude Era.
Right.
It was a very popular moral pastime was to actively boycott the Attitude Era. You want people boycotting your show
because you're a hot button issue.
Exactly.
And everyone's wanting to rebel, whatever. Yeah.
And
so basically it's the point of either stirring up the waters or being stagnant and keeping, like, maintaining what you've got, but not really gaining anything. You know, and sure, you can get really comfortable like that, especially if they keep around the numbers that they've got right now. It's not great, but it's keeping them afloat, you know, and it's enough for Universal to keep continuing their TV contracts.
Well, but in his argument, not Paul Heyman's argument, the argument for the 2 hour show.
Sure.
He mentions, I'm fast forwarding through so much of Raw.
Yeah.
And like
they cut quickly from that too. Yeah.
But that slipped under and it wasn't mentioned, but that's like, he said it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that means he's not watching it live.
Yeah.
And I'm going to assume he's watching it on some DVR.
Sure.
Of some kind. But that means he's not watching it live.
Granted, he's also a busy dude. Like, he's got a billion shows on different, mediums.
But he is voicing a feeling that...
He certainly isn't alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Raw is not must see.
Right.
Raw used to be must see for me. Mm. I also used to have Monday nights a lot more free than I do now.
Sure.
But Raw used to be a must see thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fairly standing Tuesday night appointment now.
Mm-hmm.
So barring that falling apart, I don't ever see SmackDown live.
Sure.
And the same thing with Raw. And sometimes I'm just tired on Monday.
Yeah. It happens.
And someone's like, all right, I'll get up Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I will find out via the internet if something important happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will watch some amount of highlights for Raw. But that means I'm not watching ads.
Yeah.
That means he's not watching ads.
Right.
That means everybody who wasn't shocked at the concept of fast-forwarding through Raw, which is most of everybody at this point, mm-hmm. is not watching ads.
Yeah.
Everybody, not everybody, but that large portion of people who is not boycotting, they're just not getting around to doing anything that makes you money.
Right. No, you're right.
And so that was a flawed argument.
Fair enough.
And it's one that they couldn't get into in 30 minutes, and sure. I understand that. But no. He did it initially with the Goldberg Brock thing, and then it came back up again at the draft. I was like, that's not, nope, that's not how it works.
Fair enough. I was just wondering this the other day. Like, it's been a long time since they did a Stone Cold podcast.
It is.
And I don't know, like, maybe just schedules haven't lined up or anything, but I'm kind of missing them.
Yeah.
But then again, when you think about the guests, it's just like, I don't know, like, there's just the Taker one that we're all wanting. The thing,
if it's not Taker
or they're redoing the Shane one.
Or like Vince 2 or Triple H 2.
Sure, I would be okay with that too.
Then, because part of what appealed so much about those things initially was in many ways with Vince and with Triple H, it was like this, the state of the WWE kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting.
It was. For a second, like, in the reason I rolled my eyes is I thought you were talking about the State of the Union thing that they did before Survivor Series. I was like,
no, not that nonsense.
Where everyone argued and Stephanie was just trying to shill for the company, which I feel like what would happen if she was on Stone Cold's podcast, but, you know, whatever.
No, I legitimately mean, like, Vince has to come out and say things. And part of it, what was really interesting about this show initially was, oh, this is WWE literally answering some of our complaints.
Right.
Acknowledging, you know, oh, people won't shut up about the 3-hour thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not you and me and this podcast. It's literally everybody.
And I wonder how willing they would be in doing that. Because when Vince and... Because Triple H had it a little bit, but Vince mm-hmm. did not at all. The whole, like, just forcing Roman, you know? Triple H got a little bit, but, you know, again, like, they just quote-unquote fixed it after the WrestleMania thing. Because the more hot-button issue at that point when Vince came on was the CM Punk leaving thing.
Yeah.
But now that we're like 2 years after that, we're almost going on 3, aren't we? I would be more interested in finding out, like, what is their thinking on that? Or will it just be like what we got with JBL and Paul Heyman? Like, fans don't like it, they can leave.
Yeah.
You know, we want this guy and we're going to give it to this guy, and even the fans can boo all they want, mm-hmm. but we'll continue to pull that whole, like, you know, fans are just having fun kind of thing. They'll boo what they should cheer or whatever crap they fed through JBL after WrestleMania.
Well, after those two, like, the Big Show one was interesting, mm-hmm. and Big Show came off really cool and really personable.
Right.
But, like,
trying to drink beer behind a towel.
But it wasn't, there was nothing earth shattering or groundbreaking. It was just the Stone Cold podcast,
mm-hmm.
which in some ways, like, yeah, that's fine. But that's not, you put these things on at 11 o'clock at night.
Sure.
After Raw.
It better be interesting.
Which I've already said I'm not watching.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I said that 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So if you want me to stay up another hour.
Yeah.
Then it's got to be hard hitting. I got to feel like I'm gonna learn something.
Yeah, I would watch also watch a Stone Cold with Kane, out of character Kane. But I feel like it would mostly be a libertarian platform.
I would watch any of them. I've watched AJ and I've watched Paige and I've watched I've watched all of them. They've all been interesting, but after the first two, nothing has struck me as like I needed to continue watching wrestling past 11 o'clock.
Was the Dean Ambrose the last one?
I think it's the most recent one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did that come out before AJ Styles?
It was super awkward.
Yeah,
it was painfully awkward. Maybe that's why he hasn't done one since, because, man, that was bad.
But, yeah, that's, I mean, I would like it, but if it's just going to be, now this guy, I'm not clamoring for that to be must-see for me.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, so, awards time. Do we have a jingle for that? Cue make a mute song out of that. All right.
I got to pull up my classies.
Whoa. All right. Calm down. Keep it classy. You can put that away.
There they are.
All right. So we shall first begin with Superstar of the Year.
Yes.
Does yours feels like a complete slam dunk? Like there's no other option?
Mine feels like the most obvious answer since CM Punk 2012.
All right. So does mine. You want to say it on three?
Like, one, two, three. AJ Styles.
Okay, all right. That would have been funny if you were just like Nakamura or anyone else, just like, oh, well, I feel dumb.
No, it's, I mean, there's so no question at all.
As far as like, especially pay-per-view matches, no one has consistently put on great matches every single pay-per-view since he came into the company this year,
yeah,
like AJ Styles has. And it's one of those things, like, you know, he had some really good matches, I thought, right after WrestleMania with Roman Reigns for the championship. Kind of like the same way that, you know, again, trying to get people to cheer for Roman or whatever. Even though AJ wasn't a heel or he was on the verge or whatever, I don't know.
I mean, he wasn't a heel till he turned on John Cena.
I was trying to figure out if that was
like he wasn't.
Yeah,
really...
yeah. They're actually doing like face versus face, but no one was really taking Roman.
Yeah, but it was face versus mega face.
Sure. No, you're right. His storyline with John Cena was really good. I know that's pretty much an understatement. And the work he's been doing on SmackDown lately, kind of like embracing the goofy heel, but you could still take seriously. Even though he lost to James Ellsworth with shenanigans.
Yeah, but you know what? He's not doing chicken heel.
No, he is not doing chicken heel at all. Which sounds like a super country bumpkin thing that he would say. He's basically...
AJ Styles' lowest points this year are miles above almost anybody else's high point this year.
No, absolutely.
And that's the thing is, like, from... He had the phenomenal debut at Royal Rumble. And then from Royal Rumble...
And I wasn't feeling his feud with Chris Jericho. And
that's the thing is like,
but that was like the lowest point, and it's still like
Royal Rumble terrible. Through WrestleMania. It's just kind of like it has this like, oh, they're wasting him. Of course they're gonna waste him. He's a TNA guy, like
right.
And like you just kind of feel this. I know it's gonna happen, but I'm bummed about it anyway, kind of thing. And he's still, he is not, in my knowledge, put on a less than 3-star match ever with anybody.
I remember that.
This year included.
Yeah.
So to still be as good as he was at the time period that ended up being his low point. Like, I didn't know that was going to... That was a perfectly mid to high
and
point.
And the rest of his year was so great career. That I almost forgot about that period completely until we just now started talking about it.
Yeah.
But no, there's no question in my mind. Like, it's AJ Styles... alone at the top of the mountain with not really anyone close.
Oh, absolutely.
So female superstar of the year.
Who'd you go with? There's two choices.
Yeah, there is.
They're both acceptable.
Right. I'm going with the one that has the pay-per-view streak with Charlotte.
I went with Charlotte as well. Yeah. I went with Charlotte as well.
You know, personally, you know, I prefer Sasha Banks, but there's no denying the year that Charlotte
had. I wanted it to be Sasha Banks. It was Sasha Banks for a while on here. But just going back and looking at the year... And part of it is that they both contributed so much to the matches that they had together. But within this year, they've both swapped from heel to face.
Sure.
And Charlotte has flown so much better into her new persona than Sasha. Right. Sasha's very much struggled.
Especially when she distanced herself from Ric Flair a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's calling herself Charlotte Flair. Of course, you know, that would happen when I'm saying that. But yeah, no, she's absolutely finding a new rhythm. And, you know, in many ways, you know, WrestleMania was like Charlotte's coronation. As much as we felt like that was the perfect moment for Sasha to win the championship, at the same time, it's just, you know, it shows how much faith the company now has in, you know, in names like Charlotte and Sasha and Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
So yeah, and I feel like Charlotte was, you know, just because she's had like a few bigger moments and opportunities that Sasha Banks didn't quite have, because there were different points in the year where we were like, where is Sasha Banks? You know,
mm-hmm.
There was a few, like at the beginning of the year, we
and
were
that's
like
part
that.
Of
then,
it is Sasha
then
Banks
after WrestleMania, we were
had some
like
injuries
that.
And missed some time.
Sure.
And for me, at least, being superstar of the year has at some level has to do with your presence. You have to be there.
Right.
For a certain amount of time to be considered.
Right.
And that's, you know, and Charlotte yeah. was, and Charlotte's been consistent.
Right.
And
then again, like the...
She's been dominant, like...
Right. And the year hasn't been perfect, you know?
No.
You know, you know, everyone's on the podcast heard us, you know, kind of hoping that they would save a little bit more for the rivalry between her and Sasha, you know, for years later.
Yeah.
And the swapping the belts back and forth, like every couple weeks has, you know, gotten a little old, and now that they're moving away from each other a little bit, it, you know, it's helped, but by no means does that diminish, you know, the year that Charlotte's had.
Yeah.
Okay, so match of the year. This is the one where I'm having a little bit of issue, so
I'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
Mine's Sami Zayn and Nakamura.
Okay. See, I know, because that's been my like no brainer for most of the year, and there's a couple of them that came close. You know, Cedric Alexander and Kota Ibushi came really close.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are picking the DIY revival match from TakeOver Toronto.
Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like it came super close to me. I'm struggling with that, and, you know, it's going to sound like I'm being a homer, but I'm struggling with that or the Trevor Lee versus Roy Wilkins at in here in CWF in Burlington, I believe.
Yeah, how long was that one?
It was almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, an absurdly long match that felt groundbreaking, you know? Yeah, it was super long, but it told a lot of story. Like 1 hour had the... like just the technical aspect, which was amazing. Another one had like the like run-ins that seemed gratuitous and almost ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And then like that, you know, then it had almost, you know, a solid third of it be a spot fest. You know,
yeah.
So you had pretty much everything in one match, and you had to because that's your entire show.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were able to pull it off was incredible. And so that aspect makes me lean towards that, but at the same time, you know, clearly it doesn't have the atmosphere that Sami Zayn and Nakamura had, because just the crowd, the stage,
right.
Everything was, and I usually that's like the deciding factor, you know.
I'm not going to try and persuade you either way, because I think you have very reasonable
right.
things, and I don't want to be like, no, that's a stupid indie thing.
And yeah,
like, no, that's
also at the same time, you know, I'm a complete, you know, mark for Nakamura.
Yeah. This has been a really good year for dark horse potentials.
Yeah.
Like, there have been things like Miz and Dolph Ziggler had a match of the year contender.
What pay-per-view, though? You don't remember that, do you?
Was it Payback?
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it was Payback. But, I mean, it was the career versus belt match.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was... So, obviously, Nakamura, Sami Zayn...
Right.
...was, like... watched, I was like, well, I'm done. That's the match of the year.
Right.
And there were so many of these, like, really good dark horse matches. And there were some, like, and I was starting to go through it, and I was like, wouldn't it be cool if, mm-hmm. like, Charlotte and Sasha Banks had it was a false count anywhere match
yeah.
on Raw?
And that one was a top contender for
match of the year. And I was like, how cool would it be, mm-hmm. like, a women's match mm-hmm. on Raw on free TV being the match of the year.
Right.
And so it's because all of these like Dark Horse, not WrestleMania, not pay-per-view matches being contenders. I was like, I was feeling like a jerk for like sticking with the one I've decided back in April. And I was like, no, I'm being I'm being snooty. Let me.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched it.
Yeah.
And just going back and watching it and being like, I can't in good conscience. And part of it is just like, it invented a new cheer.
Yeah.
What is the last match that literally invented a new cheer?
Yeah.
And it was natural and it was unique.
You're talking about the Fight Forever.
Yeah, Fight Forever.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Trevor Lee and Roy Wilkins did that. They fought forever.
I am explaining my reason.
Sure. Yeah,
for everybody who's going to be like, yeah, you decided in April and then didn't give anything else a chance. Right.
This happened in March.
Yeah, like that's not the case.
Yeah.
If you want to go with that match, I think that's a very
admirable,
genuine choice.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel a little bit better about picking Lee and Wilkins since you picked Nakamura.
Since I picked.
Yeah. So it's like you picked the other one. So I still feel like it gets its proper due. So you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to go Trevor Lee versus Roy Wilkins as my match of the year.
All right.
Go watch it on YouTube if you need a link or whatever. Just tweet us and I will gladly send you. I will be a proponent for that match. All right, so now that we got that out of the way, we got wrestling event of the year. This is any single pay-per-views, any takeovers, any single episode of Raw, any single episode of anything.
Yeah.
Just one episode.
An event that you would buy a ticket for, basically.
Yes.
What was yours?
Takeover Dallas?
Mine was Survivor Series.
Okay, yeah, I can understand. Because, again, like that was one where we didn't really have a whole lot of expectations for. Because, you know, they're doing the whole brand versus brand thing. So we weren't exactly sure how good it was going to be.
And I will say, part of that was push my buttons. Survivor Series Elimination Match is my personal favorite type. And this year, like, here's three. Mm-hmm. And they've done, like, multiple before. But usually it's been, like, the real one and the sad one. And the tag team one was definitely third best.
Right.
But it was, but because they had three, it felt like we can make one a little eccentric.
Sure.
And like the men's tag team, the men's elimination was another match of the year contender for me.
Right.
That was like, that was an hour match probably with everything in the world in it.
Yeah. I do need to go back and rewatch it, but I fully agree with the points you're bringing up.
And there is an argument to be made that Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar is match of the year.
Yeah.
I'm not making that argument. That argument gets into the minutia of what defines a match.
Yeah.
But all that aside, as far as spectacle, emotional, guttural reaction, nothing this year gave what that gave.
Sure.
The unexpected, whether that was a feeling of excitement and joy or a feeling of, you know, dread. I feel like almost everybody, your strongest reaction to wrestling this year.
Yeah.
Came at Survivor Series.
Fair enough.
And it was, as a package, as a full and complete package, Survivor Series felt the most money's worth.
Fair enough. I feel like you would answer differently if you watched Takeover Dallas live with us, but I'm just saying, whatever. But I mean, like, the cards for Takeover Dallas was so strong.
Oh, yeah,
You know, like first of all, you had the debut of Austin Aries against Baron Corbin, I believe. You had tag team championships with Revival versus American Alpha. And I'm starting to think that the Revival needs to go to the main roster.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly don't care which. Probably SmackDown would probably be a better fit. And plus, I feel like they need more help on the tag team side as far as just more bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And they would inject a lot of life into SmackDown's tag team.
Okay.
But then, you know, you got Nakamura, Zayn, you got Asuka and Bayley, and then, you know, yeah, the match kept getting stopped. The main event kept getting stopped because of blood, but it added an element with Joe and Finn Balor. It's just, I don't know, it just added a level of intensity to it.
Yeah.
You know, whether intentional or otherwise. So, I don't know.
For the record, I was there live with you.
No, you weren't.
Takeover Dallas?
I thought that was the one that you couldn't make it to.
No, I was 100% there.
Okay, well, clearly I was
so,
wrong about
thanks.
That.
Thanks. But I'm still saying Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Blair was there.
There you go.
Well, see, okay, you had missed a bunch of others, so...
Yeah, well, apparently you can't even pay attention to your own
I was watching this the year. Show. The show, there you go. The show was okay. So good, I couldn't tell.
But your argument for picking that one was sitting there and watching it live, and that's the only reason I didn't pick it.
Yeah.
You said I would feel differently if I was there live.
Yeah.
And so your argument is fundamentally broken and flawed.
Well, now my argument is the show was so good, I couldn't possibly pay attention to who was sitting to my left or right.
He's like, you would like this show better if you understand the sun was made out of dump trucks. Right, it's like, well, it's not.
So you hear to hear, everyone, Joel thinks Take Over Dallas was a bag of garbage trucks.
Not what I said.
Okay, so spot of the year. I feel like it's pretty obvious. The Hell in a Cell spot with Shane.
A spot that entire match and feud is built around.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, so we're all together on that.
Did you skip video package of the year?
I did. You're good. Good call.
All right.
I did the Golden Truth right before they debuted, which was at Greensboro.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it was one of the things was like, I hated everything, all the buildup and everything. And then they showed the package and I'm like, all right, I'm okay with this. And they're like, it's like, okay, that video package did everything that it could to make sure the crowd was cheering and happy to see Golden Truth show up. And it did that. Mm. And of course, everything that happened after was just like, okay, we don't care about this.
Yeah.
And it's kind of stupid, but fine, whatever.
A good video package.
But the video package did enough to like.
My video package of the year was the Charlotte versus Sasha package at Roadblock 2 very recently.
Yeah.
Charlotte versus Sasha should have been storyline of the year, feud of the year.
Sure.
Without question. It's not on my list. It might be on your list. It should have been. It wasn't because of the incessant
history,
nonstop
history,
important,
yeah,
relevant. Hooray for us!
Revolution, yay!
And so there is a little bit of tragedy of you have all the ingredients, you have all the setup. Oh, you're changing something in your head.
No, I just thought of another video package that I hadn't thought of till just now.
All right,
the one before the triple threat at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's good.
That was pretty good, but no. I stuck with mine because it turned the crowd from completely like not caring, apathetic to like, all right, we're happy to see these guys. Like it really like it did its job there.
But this match, it should have been for the first time ever. All the ingredients were there. Everything was there to make this feud between these two women the unquestionable storyline of the year.
Sure. Yeah.
And it wasn't. And they ruined it. And they didn't. They didn't trust us to know that they made a good thing, and they killed it with love, basically.
Yeah.
But that video package at the end had none of that. It just had the feud and the rivalry between these two people. And that video package is like this, oh, that's what it could have been. That's the video package for Story of the Year. There it is right there.
Yeah.
All in that one video package.
You're absolutely right.
So that's definitely my
video
package.
If that was the only time that we heard like, you know, the historics of it, that would have been amazing. Amazing.
That was the perfect cut version of
it. Was the perfect delivery of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Which is what WWE editing does.
Right. Absolutely. So now we're going to, speaking of storyline of the year, I've got Jericho, Kevin Owens.
That's perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
I got Beat Up John Cena. Just the general John Cena versus AJ Styles from that like 10 minutes of like, let's just chant.
Right.
To the turn, to the back and forth, leading up to and completing with their...
with what they're doing now.
With what they're doing now. But specifically, the Beat Up John Cena thing kind of culminated at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was this whole time there was this like, this is fun, but I remember when it was Kevin Owens.
Right.
This is fun, but I remember when it was Bray Wyatt.
Sure.
I remember when it was Rusev.
Sure.
Like you're just waiting. It's like, and there's SummerSlam where Cena's going to get the pin, the victory. Like, I've seen this before. It was fun to see AJ get to do stuff, but like,
sure.
I'm sure he'll be great in the mid-card. And there's like, 1, 2, 3, in the middle of the ring, clean, let's go. Goodbye, John Cena.
He leaves an armband, which is really a headband, in the middle of the ring, walks off.
And so, like,
and then AJ, with John Cena not even in the building, is still running off of that because he's wearing that stupid headband.
And so, like, that pin and that match retroactively made the whole storyline better.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
it ended with that.
The ending that I wanted that I never expected.
Right.
Like, that I didn't even I didn't even bother to wish for this right. time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a hope and a dream. It just that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
That was the son with dump trucks.
Sure. No, you're absolutely right. I went with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho because, like, it started as just, like, a throwaway. Like, they just threw these guys together for a match at SummerSlam, I believe. For, like, it might have been a kickoff show or it might have opened up against Enzo and Cass, like, just as a way to put all these guys on the show somewhere. Mm-hmm. They just didn't have anything else for. And they kind of, like, just got out of their way. Like, WWE got out of those guys' way and allowed it to kind of take a life of its own. And that was, like, the turning point to where I was, like, because I honestly had... wasn't really feeling Chris Jericho in 2016.
Yeah.
I really wasn't for a while. Until Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, when he started doing the list thing, they started getting silly but still, you know, legit heels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten to what we're seeing now, which is a very slow burn into their eventual feud.
Yeah.
You know? And, man, they pull the rug out from under us a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, all right, we're going to take the obvious way out. And no, we're not. I'm like, oh, you got me again. Because I was like, all right, this is the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's lasted this long and I'm still...
disinvested in this.
Disinvested and interested in where they're going to go. I'm expecting a WrestleMania match between them.
Yeah, I would not be surprised.
So now we got the final. The final winner of Diva of the Year, unless somebody else fits the bill next year.
Yeah.
We had this, like, clearly this was our female superstar of the year back when they were called Divas, before they changed it this past April. And so we had this category.
So there were Divas this year.
There was.
So we do have a reason to give out a Diva of the Year.
But in a literal sense, I felt like there was a bigger diva than all of them. And that was Ryback. He complained on Tumblr. Was it Tumblr or was it Blogspot? It was Tumblr.
I think it was Tumblr.
Yeah. He complained on Tumblr. What? That's like, that's Diva 101 right there. You know, only thing that would have made it even better is if he had his own, like, personal vlog YouTube channel. You know?
So this is also our in memorandum for that title as Diva of the Year.
Sure.
Goes off into the sunset.
With Ryback.
Forever associated with Ryback.
Yeah. Who felt like everyone should get paid the same. Yoshitatsu and John Cena should be paid the same, you guys.
That got like... He had...
He's like,
I can't get over... He had an
inkling of a point and then just ruined it with his explanation.
It's like he had the lineup.
Right.
He had the arrow was on the head. The apple's on the head. The arrow was lined up.
Right. Yeah.
He had the practice shot. I was all done. Everything's good.
It's like
he shoots himself in the foot.
It's like, guys, we should have economic equality for all. We shall get there by eating babies, you know? Like, it was like, kind of like that. We're like, all right.
Yeah. What?
You made a turn there.
You got to back up. You're like, yep, that's the way he's going with this. All right.
Did you have a pick for Diva?
I mean, no, I figure that
you're gonna go along with Ryback.
This is your salute off to it.
And we had our friends Chip and Steen all like send us some picks, and for Diva of the Year they did put in Miz, which is also
not bad.
Given our premise, that's actually pretty good. So moving on, we've got Most Improved of this year. That's also like not necessarily like just in ring, but just momentum in general.
Yes.
Or whatever. I feel like mine is pretty obvious compared to, like, nothing to now. And that was Heath Slater.
Heath Slater's a very good choice. Heath Slater was definitely a consideration.
Like, he was not on TV or he was part of another dumb joke faction.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, almost like he's a legit wrestler in WWE's eyes. And it's so weird to see that now.
Yeah.
Who do you got?
I did Braun Strowman.
Very good choice. He's picked up a lot of steam. Mm-hmm. He's got to the point where we almost always say his actual name
now, right?
Compared to what we used to do last year. This time.
I feel like, and let's make it clear that Most Improved is not necessarily from bad to good.
No.
It is not necessarily like...
It could be good to gooder.
It could be good to gooder.
Yeah.
It could be bad to less bad.
Sure.
It's just...
I'm not saying Heath Slater's my new favorite or anything.
No.
But, yeah, like, considering, like, how low on the totem pole he was, and he's still pretty low on the totem pole, but it's like they actually kind of give a crap about
him. I feel like there is... Braun Strowman is taking Luke Harper's place as the scary thing to come out of the Wyatts.
Sure.
And
no fault to Luke Harper, is just
no.
WWE just kind of
but
bungled that.
He is, without question, doing better than I ever expected.
Right. Now, I honestly thought...
That when, I ever gave him
when
credit.
They made it clear that they were splitting him from the Wyatts, I thought that was the death nail.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You
know? But they haven't screwed it up.
No.
You know, so it's almost, you know, almost a kudos to WWE for not screwing it up.
And I will say it's the best monster build in the past 5-10 years.
Absolutely.
I mean,
honestly,
I still unequivocally hate monster builds. Don't take this
no, absolutely.
As like
I'm right,
cool
right.
now.
But the no. fact that they actually got it right is impressive.
Yeah.
Or they are getting it right at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what 2017 holds.
Oh, that's right.
So biggest downfall. I went first last time. You go first on this one.
I went Enzo and Big Cass.
Biggest downfall, really?
They, just like when they came out
mm-hmm.
right after WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
They came out to a Raw crowd, and the Raw crowd, who theoretically didn't know them, you know,
mm-hmm.
Was chanting along at the level and the enthusiasm that they were chanting.
Right.
You're like, this is it. This is going to work. This is...
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've seen some, like, things from NXT not translate well to the main roster.
Right.
This isn't the case. This charm, this insanity, this is being shot to the moon.
Right.
And to go from that to kind of weird nothing, weird middle things.
Yeah.
Weird, we got to get them some heat, but they also got to get fed to... You know, Anderson and Gallows, because they right. need some heat.
Yeah.
This and they end the year on this weird
thing with
Rusev
which
thing.
I felt started off pretty all right. But then, like, when they had Big Cass, like, with the payoff being Big Cass versus Rusev, and I'm like, what is... yeah, they're friends and all, but what does Big Cass really have in this fight?
Yeah. And part of it was, like, this was kind of the... Just the straw that broke the camel's back on the, like, Rusev only fights people that try and sleep with Lana.
Right, which apparently is everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't, this isn't like, and I'm done with it. I'm not turning in my, you know, fan of them. But I feel like 2016 wasn't their year.
Right.
I think they have really good chemistry together. I think they have really good interactions with the crowd. Obviously, Enzo especially is one of the best people to use a mic in that company.
Sure.
When he has the mic and the time and the freedom.
Yeah.
So I still have every reason to expect 2017 to be a great year for them.
Right.
2016 just wasn't.
Okay.
They are so much lower on the totem pole now than they were. End their debut.
Fair enough.
So,
well, I mean, how much of that do you think is because of New Day being at the top of the totem pole? You know,
no,
what I mean?
I think a lot of it is they have a silly tag team.
Sure,
the silly tag team's about to break the record. Let's put a lot of focus on this,
right? And Bobby, WWE obviously believes in Enzo and Big Cass. Otherwise, they really should have been like the tag team of SmackDown.
Yeah,
or one of them should have at least. That's why I still, to this day, like, it was kind of a head-scratcher why they got put on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, because New Day is at the top, and it is going to be on the top seemingly for a while.
There's plenty of time to write this ship, and that is
sure.
a great way
sure.
to write it, is to send him to SmackDown.
Sure.
And again, this is with, like, a heavy heart that I
right.
chose
yeah, yeah.
these guys. I was 1,000% behind them and continue to be completely mm-hmm. behind them.
Yeah. Just full disclosure, up until like a couple weeks ago, Neville was my pick for this. And I am so happy that that's no longer the case.
Yeah.
Now it's, yeah, now it's Apollo Crews. You know, it's just like, clearly WWE saw some, like, you know, we all saw something in this guy when he was in the independents.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like he definitely could have benefited for a little bit longer time in NXT.
Yeah.
But they love his look, you know, his athleticism, his ability is amazing. He should have been in NXT a little bit longer for promo reasons, you know.
Right.
He can do anything in the ring. By God, he can do anything in the ring. He needed more time in NXT for character development. Because, like, what is his what is his, you know, what is his personality? What's the story? He's like, yeah, he smiles a lot.
Smiling.
You know? And he's just kind of like that, gosh darn it, I'm happy to be out here.
Well,
look, the
thing is,
Dana Bryan used to have.
His initial feud was with a guy who's like, I don't like your smile. And it's like, well, that's everything he's got. His whole roster of feuds is done.
You hate my identity then, you know?
Well, like, and what's he going to feud with the next guy about?
Right.
Also his smile.
Right. So there's a lot to be desired there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly fair.
Now we have our Mark Henry Memorial Award, even though Mark Henry's not dead. Mm-hmm. And again,
for explanation,
it is an award for something that was supposed to suck, and it ended up very much not sucking.
Something that on the initial, like, this is where they're going, you go, and then you end up getting 100% on board
right.
for that. For me,
yeah, go ahead.
It was this year that award goes to Chris Jericho.
Okay.
Specifically Chris Jericho's list.
Good.
Because the first time he's like, this list thing, not so much, but like the second time we're like, oh, he's gonna make this list a thing.
And then he did make it a thing and we're completely on board with it.
Oh yeah.
Right. But it was like really painful that he was trying to make it a thing, and usually that doesn't connect very well.
Yeah.
Like that Vine app that WWE was heavily invested
in. It was going to be a tout situation.
That tout thing that Dana Bryan is trying to bring back, and it's the funniest thing ever. Watching any sort of Snapchat story or any sort of social media post where Dana Bryan in the background, he's just yelling, tout! It's the best. But yeah, no, I yeah.
So, and like, because I was, Chris Jericho was already, I was warming up to him.
Mm-hmm.
He had turned heel. He was doing some Kevin Owens stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He had some really funny heelish work. And like, okay, I'm starting to see Jericho of old. He's not doing so much the cool rocker dad anymore.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, I'm starting to really feel this. Mm-hmm. And then like the list started. And
he's even in much better shape because I rewatched a lot of the earlier 2016.
Oh, yeah.
He's also in much better shape than he was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. That list thing started and I was like,
yeah,
and then it worked 1,000%
in
every way that it shouldn't have. So.
Even the Asylum match, you know, that was a big turning point for me and Chris Jericho. God, that's a good pick. I went with Cesaro and Sheamus.
That's very reasonable.
I'm still not fully on board because I want Cesaro to do his own thing and that to be at the top of everything.
Yeah.
But they kind of won me over with the bar scene that they did. I thought that was very well done.
Yeah.
It sucked that, you know, their rivalry ended in a draw. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not counting that. Like, that's part is like part of the part that sucked.
Yeah.
Like, their matches were pretty good. The last one was really good that deserved an ending, but it didn't. And then like, to solve this, we're going to put you guys up in a tag team and give you a tag team championship match. We're like, it felt like such a, you know.
Oh, it's an absolute, yeah.
Like, you know, that's why Mick Foley didn't specify what championship, you know. But it grew on me, and they actually do work all right together.
Yeah.
I hate it, but. All right, so now we got Sin Cara, which
on the
is
other end,
the Sin Cara Award, which is something that was supposed to be awesome.
Something you were very excited and hyped for.
And it ended up sucking all the butts. All
right, what was yours?
Mine for that was Alberto Del Rio's 2016. Like, the entire year. Even when he got, like, all right, even when he got let go, it was like, all right, he's going to do some amazing stuff in the independents. And his entire time away from WWE has been filled with all this weird drama stuff with Paige, his restaurant getting delayed is opening, the apparent stabbing that he claims took place in San Antonio, but no one still has any proof that actually happened. That he had another altercation, I think, in Germany like last week.
I think he got arrested.
He himself is apparently pregnant, according to his Twitter account. I don't know what's going on with him. Like, it felt like such a train wreck year for him.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of, you know, again, like, you know, WWE again should have had a better idea of what they're going to do with him when they brought him back. And that lasted for like a month, and no one was filling this Mexican-American thing that he did with Zeb. I don't know. It's just, everything about his return was weird, and I was expecting they were going to write that ship in 2016, and then they just let him go.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, again, to his request. And then just even his time on the indies has just been like what's going on? Like, you're no-showing shows, and you have weird excuses for it.
Yeah.
Don't understand it. Yeah.
My Sin Cara award this year goes to WrestleMania 32, the entirety of it. Because
okay. I mean, I still don't think it was a bad show,
but
that last hour.
But what, like, when WrestleMania 32 rumors were swirling, when we were getting early cards 6 months out,
a pretty good card.
When we were doing Ronda Rousey was going to have a match, Shield Triple Threat was going to be the main event. Mm-hmm. When Sting and Undertaker were going to have their match, mm-hmm. like that. Going
then we found out AJ Styles was in on it too,
and to watch the thing get plagued with Cena injury. You know, Sting retired.
Injured.
Retired due to injury.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins injured and has to vacate the belt. The Rock can't get insurance.
Right.
So The Rock.
And had a match out of a technicality.
Yeah. Yeah, because Rock and Brock was rumored for that.
Yep.
So, like.
And then we're like, all right, well, they're going to save it with Brock versus Dean. That's going to be amazing. And it's a, you know, they can have weapons and stuff. Yeah. And it ended up being a.
But
fest.
Just going from the. We're pulling out all the stops. We're throwing everything at the wall. We are to break this attendance record. All
right.
And to watch that go like dwindle by injury after injury down to like, oh, who's left? Are we going to have an audience participation match this year?
Yeah, when they've got to get. It was very obvious that they were just like reaching the bottom of the barrel when they brought back. What's his name? Old wrestler dude for the battle royal. I can't remember. Like, when they had Shaq, too. Like, come on, dude.
Well, like, I love
that would have been exciting back in 2012.
I love the fact that he came back, but Shane was, like, had this air of, like, the only thing we got.
Right.
Like, I loved it, and I'm excited, and I think we should all be thrilled, and the Shane O'Mac thing worked out great, but it did have this air of, like, here's this.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I like that answer. Best return. Who do you have for that?
Did you go with anybody besides Goldberg?
No, I didn't think about that. I didn't even think about Goldberg. Actually, I think I made this pick before Goldberg came.
Really?
Back. Yeah, I went with Rhino.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I went with Rhino.
Rhino's not on my radar.
I had fun. I've had fun with Rhino coming back. They've like used him like sparsely, even when he had the championship, and I felt like they did it the right way. And he was drunk Santa. He was drunk Santa, Joel. Are you telling me you hate Santa?
I am telling you.
F you if you hate Christmas.
There is no real answer that's not Goldberg. Like, Goldberg,
sure.
As a return, it was the return that's never happening.
Sure.
And it happened. It defaultably gets to win.
Mm.
It had, like I said before, it resulted in the most you've felt towards wrestling this year.
Sure.
Whether it's good or bad, it has provided the largest reaction. The only other thing I would have accepted was Neville.
Sure.
But you didn't choose Neville.
But cheese and crackers.
I assumed you were going to choose
Neville. I've enjoyed the like, crap out of Rhino.
Rhino's
back.
Fine, but...
Thanks, bud.
Not the year that Goldberg comes back.
Fair enough. All right, so now we have worst return. Who do you got?
I go Undertaker.
I go Curt Hawkins.
All right, fair enough. I forgot.
Exactly. But, okay. Exactly.
Is it worse that I forgot, or is it worse that I'm mad at Undertaker for his return? Where he came back just to chastise people for one episode and say he was going to come back and then not be here the rest of the year.
And he does, he does come back, but it's to Raw.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The next year, so it doesn't even count for 2016.
And you're
going to
sit here and lecture these guys about brand loyalty? Come on.
So, now I 100% Undertaker... That is an unacceptable return.
Yeah, I agree.
I expected more out of him.
Yeah, again, Curt Hawkins, like, he did, like, a weird, like, the Chuck Norris facts he's clearly ripping off. He was wanting to wrestle, and then he didn't wrestle, and now he's lost everything, and he's got a cane, and it's weird. And we got the best turn. I got Neville.
Neville's very acceptable, too.
Thanks. You're saying that about all the... You know what? Not what I picked it, but you're not a complete idiot, so thank you. That's pretty much what you're saying.
I had picked before Neville, and I thought about Neville, but I was like, I've made my choice.
What's that?
AJ Styles.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Solid choice. Can't argue with it.
It also goes into with, like, Superstar of the Year, I guess, should also. If he made a turn, then the Superstar of the Year should be a turn of the year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Neville was definitely, like, a contender for that.
Who's your worst turn?
Who's your worst turn?
Seth Rollins.
Really?
Because they've done nothing with his face turn.
That's very true.
It just kind of like, meh, happened. Like, it was supposed to be like a big confetti cannon, and it was just kind of...
Fair enough.
You know? Granted, he also had one of the best turns when he came back and, like, somehow got this crowd that was so far in this corner and then immediately turned heel and got them to
a face return and then a heel by the end of the promo? Yeah. That's a solid turn.
Yeah. I'm specifically referencing him going from a heel to a face.
All right. I went with Sasha Banks. It hurts me to do it.
Okay.
But she is not... She is not a face like she is a heel.
Okay.
And, like, I guess it's not necessarily a bad turn,
yeah.
But in hindsight, it's a mistake.
Fair enough. Yeah,
she is.
I mean, granted, they needed somebody to go up against Charlotte.
They did, and she's the right choice to do that.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, because she was never really a face in NXT. Not, I mean, she was
towards the end.
Yeah, but yeah, like
that was just because of the crowd reaction. Really.
Yeah, she did not play a face in NXT.
No.
Accepted cheers.
Even in her final match, she still played a heel against Bayley.
She was a heel that whole time.
Right.
And she was a very well strong defined heel.
Yeah.
She never got to practice being face before coming onto the main roster. Mm-hmm. And it feels like she doesn't quite know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what to do with that. I hope she just kind of gets better.
Yeah.
Or turns heel again.
Okay.
But because Sasha Banks, I also put Ellsworth on there.
For
worst turn.
he that was, talk about Flash the Pan.
Yeah.
Dear God, he soured quick.
So, like, that's just like, I don't know, because it's kind of like burnt up the whole character.
Yeah, no, it's Flash in the Pan, he burned up quick, yeah.
So.
So now we've got a new category, and that's our final one for this year's. I almost said slammies for this year's classies, and that is show of the year.
Yeah.
Any collection of
anything that is episodic.
Right. So it could be Raw, it could be SmackDown. It's not.
It's not SmackDown for you?
No. It's NXT or Breaking Ground, even like a non wrestling show like
Holy
Foley.
If you feel very strongly about Holy Foley, you can pick Holy Foley.
So you picked Holy Foley?
I did not pick Holy Foley. What did you pick?
No, what did you pick?
Why do you want me to go first?
I don't know.
All right, I picked Cruiserweight Classic.
Yeah, so did I.
I felt like it was a foregone conclusion for both of us, but
did you ever finish watching that?
I did, of course I did.
Okay. Are you just saying that because we're on the podcast and you're being recorded right now?
The Cruiserweight Classic, because it is like, here are 10 episodes. At the end of this is over and done.
Sure.
That was a very cool thing to see in, you know, Raw has basically, and WWE has been basically like, 93 till forever.
Right.
There is no winner. There's just, who's winning right now?
Who's sticking around the longest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You, is it going to be this guy or is it going to be the fans?
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see something that was like 10 episodes, mm-hmm. goal at the end. Everybody's got this same goal.
I mean, sure, there's something that's going to happen beyond this show, but as far as like this classic goes.
And there's absolutely been an appeal for Cruiserweight wrestling, the style, these guys. All that adds to the appeal.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that it is Cruiserweight Classic and not 205 Live, mm-hmm. which is basically the same thing as far as...
Because Cruiserweight Classic had purpose.
Had purpose. Everybody had a goal.
And 205 Live is, you know, at the point that we're making this, is still finding its feet. It's doing a little bit better now with Neville.
Yeah.
But, Cruiserweight Classic has an insane amount of purpose for something that just kind of, like, just dropped on us, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of hoping for that for the UK tournament happening in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
So next week? It's next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
Yeah, so.
So.
I'm hoping for that as well.
So that is our classies. Do you have any Final thoughts on?
Not really. I feel good about my picks, even if you made fun of Rhino. I won't. You know what? I'll tell Santa to forgive you.
Goldberg came back this year.
Yeah, but
you know what?
Was Goldberg drunk Santa?
Yes, in 2006 when he played Santa in Santa Slays.
Oh my! Was he drunk?
He was killing people. He didn't do that sober.
So blood drunk is what you're trying to say.
So I'm trying to say that you thought you had this really good
here's
point,
the thing,
and it crumbled.
I want,
because you didn't know direct to DVD Christmas horror movies well enough.
See, I want to call you out on it, but that's the kind of stuff that you would know.
I am not kidding. I'm 100% honest. You can look this up.
Is it spelled S-L-A-Y-S?
Santa killing people, played by Bill Goldberg. It's a real movie.
How? To answer my question, how is Slay spelled?
I think it's with a Y.
See, all right, yeah, fine. if they had real balls, they would have spelled it the right way.
Well, he doesn't.
It's like not change a thing in the movie, just the title.
All right, anything else for this week?
No, but I just feel like this sense of just pointlessness after I've heard about this directed DVD crap.
It might have had a theatrical run. I'm not sure about that.
I feel so much better.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter where we tweet.
Yes, that is what we do with our Twitter account, Joel.
I need to sit down and like actually rewrite what I'm going to say now that we can't just say live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, since it's wrestling never ends.
You heard it here first, people. Class Ring Attire uses its Twitter account to tweet. Bold statements is what we're about. Throwing that hat over the wall. Now we have, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to address on the show, if you want to sit here and tell us how wrong we were about our picks, send that over to our email account. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com. That's where we send emails.
We are also on iTunes. You can subscribe there or give us a rating of
5. That's where we iTunes.
That doesn't even make sense.
I don't care.
Or if you write a review, that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you because that's where we post our podcast sometimes.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow myself. Easy way to find out what other things we're working on.
That's where we post status.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Obvious reactions.